The Athletic.
Totally Football Show European Edition today with all your favourites. PSG don't manage Artois, Bordeaux look back in Angers, and a family affair in the French Cup final with a Nantes and their niece. Plus, Frankfurt is on a roll, and other stuff from Spain and Italy we don't have puns for. It's the latest Totally Football Show in association with Paddy Power. Hello, listener. Many thanks for joining us today. This is the week that starts with the 9th of May. And in Totally terms, it's a fat Euro show featuring Alvaro Romeo, Julian Laurence and James Horncastle. All right, boys.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Woof.
Bom dia.
That's right. Yeah, indeed. That's
Catalan.
Amongst other things.
Unbelievable.
Amongst other things.
So many languages you can speak. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Hey, since our last show, a lot has happened. A lot has happened. Cast your mind back to the midweek round, that real Man City. James, you went off to Villarreal in the Liverpool game. Crazy.
Yeah, got very wet. It was great spectacle, though. Wonderful place to go watch football, Alvaro. It's like a kind of mini Boca Juniors. If like Boca Juniors were a kind of a smaller club.
Right. Have you been to Boca
Juniors? Of course. Many, many times.
All right, then.
I'm going next week.
Meantime, Alvaro, any exciting reaction to the Real Man City result and their prospects against Liverpool in the big final?
Well, many exciting reactions about that because, you know, Real Madrid didn't shoot on target until the 90th minute when Rodrigo scored the equalizer. So, yeah, it was obviously something that no one could believe. But then, after the game, many said that they believed it because Real Madrid is about that. So, you know, they went from disbelief to huge belief in some sort of religious way about Real Madrid and how on earth they are still doing these remontadas, to the point that I heard last week in one radio show, I cannot specify which one, that if there is a God, he will probably support Real Madrid, or he's a Real Madrid supporter for everything he's giving to the club lately.
That's a perspective, isn't it? It
explains
a lot
about the world.
Yeah, indeed so.
Rampant capitalism.
Well, Real Madrid not able, with divine intervention or otherwise, to get the result in the derby this weekend, I noticed. But yeah, maybe their thoughts are elsewhere. We'll move on to that and the other big games around Europe, French Cup final and the like. But of course, we're going to begin with our moments of the weekend with Paddy Power. James, you'll go last. So
I noted you said plural moments of the weekend.
Well,
so
yeah, because
that applies
three
to
of
all
you.
Of us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Jules, how about your moment of the weekend?
You just mentioned it, James. It's the French Cup final at the Stade de France on Saturday when Nantes beat Nice 1-0. Not that the game in itself was great, it was a penalty, but it's the first FA Cup for 21 years for Nantes, first trophy as well. They went through really, really bad moments. There was an amazing tribute to Emiliano Sala, of course, not long after full time before they lifted the cup, who was obviously in everybody's mind from the non-side of it. And it was a wonderful victory for them, considering how far and how bad they were last season when Antoine Camboire took over as a manager. And where he's taken them now is an incredible turnaround, and they fully deserve that trophy and the Europa League next season.
18th. When he took the reins, the man famous, of course, for being sacked, despite being top of the league, wasn't he at the time? PSG?
Indeed, yeah, at Christmas, yeah. Winter champions.
Brutal, brutal. All right, we'll hear more about that and other French news soon enough. Alvaro?
Well, it could be Granada beating 6-2 Mallorca away, which is something that doesn't tend to happen, especially in the lower part of the table of La Liga, but I have to stay with Ansu Fati scoring for Barcelona after a minute. He came onto the pitch replacing Ferran Torres, and he spent like 70 seconds on the pitch before he scored the goal.
El balón para Jordi Alba, que la cuelga, otra vez encuentra Ansu Fati, otro control, remata esta vez, sí, gol, 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 gol.
Qué control, qué control.
This guy is gifted. You know, he came back from the injury last weekend. He scored the goal, one of the important goals for Barcelona to win that game. And then Jordi Alba scored the second one. And yes, that means that Barcelona is mathematically qualified for the next season Champions League. And considering how their finances are, well, this is what they wanted. So Barcelona will play the next season Champions League.
Excitingly, they might also get into the Saudi-based Super Cup as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. James?
I'm going to keep this very brief. It's Serie A.
Just, that's it. That's the tweet.
That's the tweet, more or less. I imagine we'll get to the title race, so we can talk about that later. Mm. Moment of the week, Friday night, Genoa against Juventus. All go back to last weekend's moment of the week, which was Domenico Crescito missing a 96-minute penalty in the Derby della Lanterna between Genoa and Sampdoria, which seemed to condemn Genoa to relegation for the first time since they came up in, 2006-07. And they go behind to Juventus, and in the kind of late stages of that game, they get one goal back from the Icelandic player Alfred Gudmundsson, whose great-grandfather used to play in Serie A. And then Moise Kean goes up the other end of the pitch, has a chance to make it 2-1 for Juventus. He misses a sitter. And then Decilio, who played a part in Genoa's equaliser, gave away a penalty. Crescito steps up almost exactly the same time as he missed the penalty a week ago against Samp. And he scores this penalty. And Genoa is still alive. No one has gone down yet in Serie A. You could say the race to stay up is as compelling as the title race, James.
Hmm. You certainly could. All right, on we go then. First up, France.
The Totally Football Show European Edition's Moment of the Weekend, brought to you by Paddy Power. If one leg of your 4+-fold ACCA lets you down, get a free bet on all football leagues and all markets. Max free bet £10, minimum odds 1-5 per leg, online exclusive, no shop bets. T's and C's apply, 18+,
Le coup de sifflet à venir de l'arbitre face aux supporters nantais, face au virage nord, la course d'élan, Ludovic Blas, encore une fois, très fort, Félix, comme d'habitude, et pourtant Bulka est parti, et pourtant Ludovic Blas.
All right, Jules, plenty of exciting things going on in the league, but let's hear more first of all about the Coupe de France final. There in Paris, one or two moments of tension outside the ground of the Nice fans and their Parisian counterparts coming to blows, but by and large some lovely moments of two teams who've been away from trophies for too long, and Nantes, as you mentioned, coming out on top with that narrow 1-0 win.
Yeah, you're right. I think 25 years for Nice it was, and 21 for Nantes. Two different clubs as well. Now that Nice is obviously under the ownership of one of the richest men in Europe, in Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who I think, despite the good results in the league, and they still can clinch a top three finish maybe in Champions League next season. Certainly the Europa League is very much on course as well. But winning the cup and a trophy like that was also a validation of the money they invested already, what they're doing with the club, going and get Christophe Galtier, of course, who won the league with Lille last season, on a lot of money with this big project. So there was a lot of pressure on them, maybe a bit less on Nantes, although it's one of the biggest clubs in French football history, of course. They brought almost twice the fans as Nice. Both clubs had 20,000 tickets, and somehow we had 40,000 non-fans within the Stade de France, which was incredible. It was yellow everywhere, pretty much, two-thirds of the pitch. And then Nantes, who were not the favourite, but played a really perfect game, defended well, and then took the chances, played on the counter. Colomwani, who's a wonderful player, is going to go to Frankfurt in the summer for free, was really ran the show. And then Ludovic Blas, the captain, best player by far this season at Nantes, scored the penalty to win it. I think for Camboire, it means a lot because he obviously went to the club academy when he was a youngster and then made his debut there before going to PSG and other clubs. And for him to come back as a manager, save the club last season and now guiding them to the cup final and cup win was huge. And also for the owner, because we have to mention him, Valdemir Kita and his son Franck, who are very controversial in Nantes. No one likes them. You know, they've got this, amongst other things, like aesthetic surgery company where they can make your willy bigger if you want to, James. And for them, that trophy is also, you know, it means a lot. So it was really good all around.
Crikey!
Do they have a nickname? Chills.
Nah, the Kitas, no, they don't. They don't. They, I think they love the club, but they, I've got a good nickname for you coming later, but not on them. They love the club, but they're businessmen, and they the way they've run that club for 10 years now has been very up and down, more down than up, to be fair. So hence the fact that no one's like them.
Hmm.
But to be fair, they did well to be where they are now.
All right. Let's talk about someone's crying, my lord, Koumbaré, a figure of fun in French football. But
what was that joke again? I should be laughing, but what's the song?
You sing it around a campfire, you know.
Go on. What's the real song?
It's pretty much that. It's Kumbara. What is it?
Kumbaya, my lord.
Kumbaya. Okay. Yeah. Kumbaya.
Oh lord, kumbaya. We'll take you out glamping, Jules. You know.
Oh my god! The next time I see him, I promise you, I'll mention that to him. Not that he would understand, but
yeah. So, what kind of figure? Because a lot of people had a lot of sympathy for him with what happened at PSG. What's his image been like in France, and how does this help?
Has it been enhanced by being at Nantes?
If you want a secret, Antoine Combray doesn't need the extension. Trust me. More seriously, he's a bit of the French Sam Allardyce in the sense that you often call him up when your team is struggling and you need firefighters, as we say in French, you need the pompier de service and that kind of stuff. And sometimes he says some silly things, like when Toulouse called him to try to keep them up, which he didn't do. He says stuff like, we asked him about the league and he goes like, I don't know, I haven't watched Ligue 1 at all, like in the last 18 months or something. So I don't think he's helping himself sometimes.
What was the silly thing that he said?
With communication, well, that you have watched more than him, Ligue 1. But things like that, you know, he get confused with words, he says the wrong words, a bit like you, James, again. So it's... but what you have to give him a lot of credit, he is this incredible management guy, and those players tactically, it's not Pep Guardiola and he will never be, and I don't think he even wants to be.
Or Pep Genesio.
Or Pep Genesio, for example. He says, you know, talking about silly things, he said before, tactics is pointless in football. He said that one day. So yeah, so that's not his game. His game is all about making sure that you're going to be giving it your best and your all and all that kind of stuff. And that has worked. He's obviously very famous for scoring an incredible goal in the PSG Real Madrid game back in 93 in the UEFA Cup. So his
golden head. Was that
exactly
what it is? Yeah.
Because he kept scoring with his head against Anderlecht, against Real Madrid in that European campaign that year. So yeah, no, cult figure for many reasons. And he deserves all the credit in the world for that cup win, because he's done an amazing job there. He's not going to stay because he hates the Kitas and he doesn't need, as we said, the enlargement. So he's going to go, but he would have brought the team and the club to a much better place now than when he joined.
Okay. He won't accept an extension because he doesn't need an extension, that's what.
Exactly.
You're saying.
That's perfectly said. That again, I'm going to tell him, because this is perfectly said. This is going to make the live show tomorrow.
So, meanwhile, in Ligue 1, Lyon did a Lyon, losing 3-2 at second from bottom.
How is Peter Bosz still in a job?
Exactly. So that's my nickname of the week. Peter BS, I call him now, because he's full of This is crazy.
Sure.
He's not Peter Bosz. Very
right.
Producer Charlie can beat that.
He said, this season is a failure. I can't explain such a difference. You can't win 3-0 at Marseille and deserve to do so, but then lose here today. It is a mystery.
Yeah, it is. Mm. You're the mystery, Peter BS, because this was literally, you watch the game and you're thinking, like, what's that team playing in white? Who are they? This is not the Lyon players that really should be on the pitch. They won the French Youth Cup, which is always played in the afternoon of the French FA Cup final, the French Cup final. And it was the first time in 25 years. Even the Benzema generation and Ben Arfa generation lost the final. So it was a good weekend for Lyon, because they won it on penalties against Caen, and they have a really good, another one, generation coming through the academy. And yet the next day, they just ruined their weekend like that by losing to a team that is really poor in Metz, really, really bad. And for me, you can blame, of course, the players. They weren't playing, but Peter Bs has just been really rubbish, let's be honest, from start to finish.
Okay.
Jules, do they play the is it the Coupe Gambardella? Is that the
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that's it. So the youth cup. Yeah, yeah.
Do they play that in the famous Parisian suburb of Saint Denis? That's part of that's part of Paris or not?
That is not Paris. And everybody who says it is are wrong.
Well, I've already said today that they played the...
Yeah, but because you're my friend, I didn't want to, like...
Oh, thanks, Jules. Thanks.
Yeah, you, but you made a mistake, yeah. It's not Paris.
Well, it kind of is Paris.
What? What do you... No, it's not.
Is Wembley part of London?
But Wembley has a London postcode. Saint-Denis doesn't have a Paris postcode. I mean, it depends. Then, you know, how far do you go? What's Paris, what's London, and what's not London?
I don't know.
Postcode should be the decider, right?
If a top footballer was born in Saint-Denis, would he be Parisian born and bred? Or would you...
Okay, so this is the little bit...
Oh, yes. Touché, as they say in France.
No, because the area, you know, the area is Paris-Île-de-France.
Okay, all right. The clip of Thierry Henry addressing this hot topic where he says... If you're in Saint-Denis, you're not in Paris. And trust me, you don't want to be in Saint-Denis.
Yeah.
That's quite strong.
But I think the point he was trying to make, like the same I did on Five Live in the quiz that I should not have lost, was that there's still
another
two
quiz?
Another quiz. And this one, I didn't let my opponent win and like, you know, the totally into quiz. But it's two different cities still. I don't care what you're saying.
All right, then. Jules, elsewhere in Ligue 1, Monaco notched up their eighth victory in a row. They're three behind Marseille in the race for automatic Champions League qualification with two games to play.
And the star was Tchouaméni. Again, I know we mentioned him a lot. He will score the two goals. That's not his job. But if he adds that to his game, which is already very, 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 very good, then I don't know where he can stop because he's so good. And wherever he goes... And he even said last week that he could stay just for one more season to play Champions League football with Monaco and go to the World Cup and all of that. So that might delay a little bit his departure for a big European club. But wherever he goes, that club would be very, very lucky.
He's essentially what, a goal-scoring DM?
No, he's not a goal scorer yet. This is new. Yeah, he scores the odd goals, but not like that. He's more of a all-around... midfielder that can do everything you want, who is so gifted technically and so physical and so intelligent. And if he has the goals, then he would really be unstoppable. But whether he goes to Real Madrid or Chelsea or Liverpool or PSG or stays in Monaco or wherever, he's going to be great because he's got so much talent.
Magnificent. Down the bottom, meantime, Bordeaux, it's over.
Almost,
c'est fini.
They can only get the relegation playoff. That's all they can now. And even that, when you see them playing against Angers on Sunday, when they knew it was the last chance, so you expected them to put a fight, they put everything but a fight. So I don't even see them getting that 18th position to play against the playoff winner of the second division, if you want. I think they're doomed. They're so bad. It's terrible.
To be replaced by Toulouse, no? Who are...
Toulouse
run by
up, yeah.
Red Bird, yeah, Camoli, exactly. Analytics boffins, and that's
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
thing, so.
And Reece Healy, the English striker who was at MK Dons, who has been one of the best players in the second division, and all his goals have helped massively. And Branco, of course, you know. Branco.
Oh yes, Branco Van Boomen. What a guy!
Who is by far the best player in the second division in France to play for Toulouse, who is the Kevin De Bruyne, let's put him that way, because the guy is amazing. And as James said when we're together and we mentioned him, the name is just, I mean, when you call Branco to start with as your first name, you have to be good.
And he scores free kicks. Van den Boomen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so good.
He scores free kick. He delivers a lot of assists on set pieces, and he's all around an amazing player too.
So, James, we should be excited about Toulouse in Ligue 1 next season. Will you be going to cover it?
I'm curious because, hey, one of my best friends grew up in Albi, which is not too far away from Toulouse. So,
I'll be going along.
In that sense, I will go along, definitely.
Nice. Very good. That's probably enough French football news for now.
Don't mention PSG. It's
PSG.
No. Don't.
Poch is staying.
It was Please no, please. Don't do that to me. Don't let him say. But they were on the beach already.
Une deux-deux avec trois.
Avec trois. Deux-deux avec trois, indeed. And the players are on the beach, and they are literally today on the beach because all of them have had days off. Neymar is in Barcelona, Kylian Mbappe is in Madrid.
Oh, yeah?
Having tapas, with his best mate, Ashraf. They just could not wait for that game to be over to catch a private jet wherever they wanted. So we saw Mauro Icardi spending days in London with the family.
But he's been on the beach for 2 years, hasn't he? Like
completely, completely. I mean, I think he's the beach. So you know, the beach.
That's
in,
his
like,
nickname.
La plage.
Yes,
la
yes.
Plage.
I love it.
La plage.
End of season. End of season coming around, and Jules taking no prisoners.
No prisoners.
All right. Great stuff, Jules. Thank you for that. And next up for us, Serie A.
Place your bets. Welcome to Pep Roulette.
So, lad, feeling confident today, me.
And your selection?
Just start up front. Blue number 9 and 26. 17 as well, just behind the front two, like.
Excellent. Good luck. Blue number 7. Unlucky, sir.
Oh, Sterling. He started last week.
Predicting Pep's lineups is hard, but fortunately, we've made our bet builder easy. Simply choose a top pre-built bet builder, click Add to Bet Slip, select your stake, and done. Paddy Power. Online exclusive. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Daniel Taylor, Amy Lawrence, Phil Hay, James Pearce, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around.
Italy, home of the tightest title race in Europe, top two only 2 points apart. James, you mentioned Friday and what happened with Genoa and Juventus, but meantime, what looked like being a key game as Empoli visited San Siro, went 2-0 up against Inter, and what looked like being a major blow to their title hopes, only the Nerazzurri came roaring back.
They did. They had a record number of shots, certainly for a game in Serie A, maybe for all of Europe's top five leagues this season, 37. Quite remarkable, really. It looked like it was going to be one of those tricky nights that they occasionally have against Empoli. You go back to 2019, final day of the season, when it looked like Empoli were going to cost them a place in the top four. And then Ragnar Ingelen, you know, when he was actually playing for Inter, rather than sort of, you know, going out partying, came up with a worldie to see them into the Champions League. And in this game, go behind very early. Pinamonti, on loan from Inter, scoring his 13th goal of the season, not celebrating. And then one of the top talents in Serie A, Aslani, with a wonderful first touch to put them 2-0 up. And then, to be honest, Inter didn't really deserve to be behind, kept creating chances, and they just keep looking to Lautaro at the moment. Lautaro got a brace, first goal, wonderful outside of the foot finish. 19 goals for the season in the league. I think it's 28 for club and country. And they came roaring back 4-2. Not ideal preparation for Wednesday's Coppa Italia final against Juventus at the Stadio Olimpico, because that will have taken quite a lot out of them, that comeback. But for 24 hours at least, they were top until, of course, Milan played Verona, which was supposed to be a fateful night against the fatal Verona. Verona, who cost them the league championship on the last day of the season in 1973 and on the penultimate day of the season in 1990. Verona took the lead, but again, just as Inter came roaring back, so did Milan. And Sandro Tonali has become very much the face of this run-in for Milan, scoring that late winner against Lazio, scoring a brace here. Even though without Rafael Leao, he wouldn't have scored either of those two goals against Verona. So it's very delicately poised, James.
2 points between them with two games to go. Milan next weekend will be at home to Atalanta. We'll be showing you that one live in our Golazzo Live. And then the final day sees them away at Sassuolo, for tricky customers. Inter, with those 2 points to make up, three in fact, because Milan have the better head-to-head record, away at Cagliari next weekend. Again, we'll be showing that one live. And then Sampdoria at home on the final day. Cagliari, who are one of those teams that just doesn't want to seem to go down, James.
Yeah, I mean, flailing desperately.
You predicted they would give Walter Mazzarri the heave-ho last week, and lo and behold, yes, they did. And then in their absolutely must-not-lose clash with Salernitana, they managed to dig out a 99th-minute equaliser to stay alive.
Yeah. I mean, Salernitana were on course for a fifth win in six games, but they've drawn their last two, conceding stoppage-time equalisers in both. The last one, I think, was against Atalanta in Bergamo when Pasalic scored. And this time, Giorgio Altare came on and got this equaliser for Cagliari, which not only kept them in, I don't know, the race for survival, but also kept Venezia in it as well. Venezia were going down until that 99th-minute equaliser for Giorgio Altare. Venezia themselves, protagonists in one of the most remarkable games of the season against Bologna. Sinisa Mihailovic released from hospital, back on the bench. Good to see. And Venezia got into the lead. Bologna came racing back, got themselves in front, and then Venezia managed to win it in the 94th minute.
Extraordinary.
With Dennis Johansson. So
Bologna, who'd lost the game prior to Mihailovic going into hospital, then been unbeaten, only dropping points in one match while he was in the clinic, and immediately loses as soon as he comes out again.
Yeah.
But lovely to see him back.
lovely to see him back. He was saying how it was good to be back in a press conference. You know, he called journalists a necessary evil, but he said he'd miss them. And he obviously been in hospital. He'd, again, appreciate the small things in life, just like being able to go for a walk or spend a few hours with his wife. Obviously, watching a football game live, watching your team lose, and also said, you know, he'd been in hospital so much over the last few years that he reckons he can now be a tour guide of the Sant'Orsola Hospital in Bologna once he's finished. But of course, we hope Sinisa doesn't have to go back in hospital and he's still presiding over mad games like the Venezia Bologna one.
Indeed, so. All right, well, just 2 points between Salernitana in 17th, just outside the bottom three, and Cagliari and Genoa, the two teams immediately below them. But Samp and Spezia, just above them, can still very much get dragged in. As we talk now on Monday, the final game of round 36 yet to be played, that's Roma against Fiorentina, a match which is all about Europa League ambitions. Roma currently 3 points behind Lazio, who have already played, and Fiorentina 3 points behind Roma. Roma, of course, though, may have another route into that competition because they have, courtesy of last Thursday's win over Leicester, got a place in the Conference League final. James, the game, a 1-0 win. Mourinho very happy with the way they administered that partita. But I think maybe the most special moment at the end was the special one, in tears.
Yeah, you could see almost the kind of pain, yeah, coursing through his face in the final moments of that game when Leicester tried to get an equaliser that would send it into extra time. I mean, Jordan Vertu won a free kick high up the pitch and Mourinho ran onto the pitch and kind of sort of congratulated him and then was sort of really living every single moment. But yeah, in tears, he when he appeared in front of the TV cameras a few moments later, he says, "I'm just so tired. I just want to go home." You know, I think it has been a long season of ups and downs. I mean, just to get to the Conference League final, that's 14 games. It's not like they've been going to play teams in France and Spain, and they've had to go to play Luhansk. They've had to go to Trabzon. They've had to go to the Arctic Circle to play Bodo Glimt. I mentioned those highs and lows. Obviously, the 6-1 was a real low in which, you know, the aftermath of that was, you know, decrying the shortfalls of the squad. You know, how certain players weren't good enough, how they were benched, and everyone was predicting, okay, this is where it's all going to unravel very quickly. And instead, they're in their first European final since 1991. First time that they could win a European trophy since the Fairs Cup in 1961. And Jose saying it was that family one, and that is true. That's not inauthentic, because I think the squad is behind Jose, and I suppose some of the players that were left out after that 6-1 Bodo Glimt game, they've now been sold or loaned out. You think of Borja Mayoral, Brian Reynolds, Gonzalo Villar, players like that, and he's happy with the squad he's got. Obviously wants improvements in the summer, but the squad's happy with him, and the club's happy with him, and you only had to just see the atmosphere at the Olympico on that Thursday night. 70,000 there, you know, as much as it was kind of raucous when they came back and beat Barcelona to reach the Champions League semi-final in 2018, the scenes were kind of reminiscent of when they last won the Scudetto in 2001, in terms of the kind of, you know, waves of flags that you saw in the crowd. So it's just mad that this Conference League final is being held in a stadium of 25,000, of which, as we know, at all UEFA events, the home and away side both get, you know, quite small allocation, and lots of tickets end up going to corporate and sponsors. And it's almost made these semi-finals feel like finals. And certainly the crowd at that the semi-final second leg felt like it was there to watch Roma do something historic.
If Roma wins this European trophy, will you resign, James Horncastle, after all that criticism that you had towards Mourinho, who we know you hate?
I do not hate Jose.
I
still think some of the criticism stands. Yeah, losing 6-1 to Bodo Glimt is... It's true. Humiliating.
True.
For him and for the club. And okay, after four games against the same opponent, they won the last one, which was the one that mattered, and it saw them through to the semi-final. They have spent a lot of money. They made Tammy the most expensive signing of the summer. It's worked out. It has worked out. I expected a little bit more from them in the league. You know, I think particularly this year, when, for example, the Scudetto will be won by a team that will probably get fewer points than Spalletti's club record, Roma, or Sarri's club record, Napoli. There's an opportunity there for teams to get into the top four, because Juventus haven't been up to all that. Atalanta have completely fallen off a cliff, respective to it. So as much as people will point to the squad and say, oh, it needed a complete rebuild, it didn't. It was third for two-thirds of the last season. It got into a Europa League semi-final. So top four for me was an objective. So in that sense, my criticism still stands. But do I consider the season a success? I absolutely do, because reaching a European final is new ground for this club. And regardless of what people think of the Conference League, I think it's been a success as a competition. And all Roma fans want is a trophy, and that's it.
So you're not going to resign, basically?
I'm not resigning.
You're staying with us. Okay, good. That's good.
In fact, I'm going to Tirana. So there we go.
Feyenoord await on the 20th.
Unbeaten
Feyenoord. Reece Nelson's unbeaten Feyenoord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. You can expect a full preview of that game, courtesy of our Dutch football expert, James Horncastle, ahead of the match. Couple of weeks' time.
Indeed.
Next up, let's hear about that derby madrileño.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show in association with Paddy Power. And with Paddy Power, if something doesn't go quite to plan, you can get your money back as a free bet if one leg of your bet builder lets you down. And that's good news for Watford fans as they get ready to appoint their fourth manager of the season. Pre-match bet builders only. Get your stake back as a free bet. Minimum 4+ legs. Maximum free bet is £10. Excludes enhanced match odds. Online exclusives and T's and C's apply.
Portugal! Alô,
Well done, Porto. Sergio Conceição chomping on a fat Porto as his club celebrated their 30th title win at a stoppage time winner away at Benfica. Meantime, new ground Spanish champions Real Madrid were in action again mere days after that incredible semi-final second leg comeback against Man City. They took the field against Atletico Madrid. Crikey. There was no traditional guard of honour. And Carlo left out several key players as well. Bit of a snub that to the neighbours. How was the game, Alvaro?
Well, there was no guard of honour to start with, but there was Darth Vader on the pitch. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
Yeah. The truth is that before the game, that was quite puzzling because Darth Vader came onto the pitch with the ball of the game in his hands. It's all part of a commercial action by Atletico de Madrid for a series that will premiere in Disney very soon called Obi-Wan Kenobi. But yeah, instead of the guard of honor, we had that on the pitch. Basically, Darth Vader coming onto the pitch. And then the game, I think that Atletico de Madrid won it because they had to win it. And Real Madrid, it's not that they didn't care, but of course, you know, they have had a week of many emotions, a roller coaster of emotions, celebrations all around because they won the league first and then they beat Manchester City, which I think that that was probably even more celebrated than winning La Liga because, you know, it was at the end of the day something that they didn't expect, beating Manchester City, and now they are in the Champions League final and their eyes are there. So the whole point of Real Madrid right now playing these La Liga games is to get the best possible fitness from Casemiro and to make sure that no player gets an injury, especially Karim Benzema. So yes, Atletico beat them. I think the penalty was a little bit soft on Mateus Cunha, but anyway, after a VAR check, it was called. And Atletico scored that winning goal. Carrasco was fantastic during the game. He basically gave a torrid time to Lucas Vázquez because he was on fire, and Lucas Vázquez is not the best defensive asset Real Madrid has right now. And then in the second half, Ancelotti did some changes. He tried to change the game a little bit, but it was very difficult already. Atletico had more chances. They couldn't score. Griezmann had a chance. Then Matías Cunha had another one. Carrasco hit the post in the second half. But yeah, it's a 1-0 victory for Atletico de Madrid. All they wanted, all they needed. The first victory against Real Madrid at Wanda Metropolitano, by the way, which is something in a way, a little bit of a milestone for them. And yeah, from now on, Real Madrid has to move on. Their eyes are set on the 28th of May. And Atletico is almost qualified for the Champions League, which is very important for them because they've got some of the, they pay some of the biggest wages in Spain, starting with having the best paid manager in the world.
Mm. The other man in black, of course, involved on in that game. So that's their first derby win in 9 games against Real. And as you say, it leaves them looking almost set for Champions League football next time around. Then they're 6 points clear of Betis, who are down in 5th. 3 games still to play, though, in La Liga. Betis, who were beaten at the 93rd minute by Barcelona in one of the other big games this week. Jordi Alba with a magnificent volley to snatch the victory right at the death.
Yeah, beautiful goal by Jordi Alba. Has to be said that the core of veterans have been pretty decent this season for Barcelona. Jordi Alba, Busquets, even Piqué when he plays, they do better than the likes of Eric Garcia or the likes of De Jong, with all due respect to the Dutchman. The truth is that they are always delivering. And Jordi Alba, this season, he has provided 12 assists, I believe, and he has scored 3 goals. And only 2 players in the Big 5 leagues, 2 fullbacks in the Big 5 leagues, have better attacking numbers than Jordi Alba. And we know who they are, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, because Liverpool has probably the, or employs the fullbacks in such a manner that they have these attacking numbers. But Jordi Alba is somewhere near there as well, at least in terms of numbers, not in terms of intensity. So yeah, Barcelona won it. Again, they didn't do a particularly good game. They got the Champions League qualification, which is the most important thing for them, because them winning the league was never a realistic option. Even if at some point after beating Real Madrid, they look like, okay, maybe they can have an incredible run and win every single game from now on. Well, that never happened because they lost to Cádiz and to Rayo at home. That was very disappointing because it happened in the week that they lost against Frankfurt as well. But now they are qualified for the Champions League. Now they are set to qualify for the Super Cup as well. And let's don't forget, like in every league, the higher you finish on the table, the more money you are getting. So this is very important for Barcelona because they are in a terrible financial crisis. And the fact that Ansu Fati scored the goal is telling us again that this kid is gifted. I mean, the other day he didn't play particularly well. I think that he is still very far away from his best possible fitness. He didn't want to have surgery when he picked an injury in Bilbao, against Athletic Club Bilbao in January, because he doesn't want to go to the surgery room again. I mean, after what happened to him last year when they botched it up with his knee. So he went for what we call in Spain a conservative treatment of his hamstring. I don't know if it worked completely because this guy has to get more robust and we will see whether he can play many games in a row. But the truth is that he's always scoring. I mean, he has scored a goal in La Liga every 60 minutes, which is pretty astonishing. And then this season, I mean, every time he's on the pitch, you get the sense that he can threat you somehow. Even if he doesn't play well, he's capable of scoring goals, he's got this instinct, and he's going to be so important for Barcelona. Him and Pedri, I repeat it again, because Fati and Pedri, they haven't played together this season, and they didn't play together last season either. And these are probably the two best Spanish promising players. So I think that, yeah, having Ansu Fati and Pedri next season is going to be very important for Barcelona. And Betis, well, you said that they are a few points away from Atletico, 6 points, so in reality they are 7 points. Because in a hypothetical draw on points, Atletico will prevail because they've got a good head-to-head against Betis, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Anything else we should know from La Liga, Álvaro?
Yes, very quickly, I think that it's quite interesting. Like in Italy, I think, no teams have been relegated yet. And in La Liga too. And the truth is that from Cádiz down to Alavés, there are 5 teams that they can still be relegated, and all of them they are doing a very good end of the season. Actually, Alaves they are winning one game every two. Levante they did an astonishing performance against Real Sociedad, beating them 2-1 in the weekend, and I think that this is going to be one of the interesting things of La Liga this season. I mean, who is going to get relegated? And you know, everyone is fighting for the points, and even Levante, who looked doomed back in January, they are back on track.
Excellent. All right. Plenty to look forward to then in the final 3 rounds of the season. For this edition of the Totally Football Show, let's next up catch up with Christoph Biermann with some German football news.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic, this is the Totally Football Show with James Richardson.
Christoph Biermann on the line. Hello, Christoph.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Have you had a nice footballing weekend, Christoph?
Yeah, indeed, I had. I took a trip to the Ruhr area, to the Ruhrgebiet, and I saw probably Bielefeld going down on Friday, losing 2-1 at Bochum. They have a theoretical chance to stay up, but it's quite theoretical now. And a day later, I watched the return of the drama queen of German football, and that is Schalke 04. Schalke 04 is coming back to the Bundesliga next season. The third biggest club in Germany, still loaded with debt, and but they are back, and in style, in dramatic style. They were 2-0 down against St. Pauli, who also had chances to go up, and then in the end were winning 3-2, and it was a full chaos afterwards. so the police counted during the match that 144 flares were lit by the supporters. That's a lot. And and there was a pitch invasion, and the pitch was destroyed. And so nice chaos, tears, emotions, a lot of beer, blah blah blah. Schalke is back in the Bundesliga.
Boom. For now. Meantime, heading the opposite direction, Greuther Fürth. Yeah. And as you say, Arminia Bielefeld, just when I'd learned how to pronounce them, they still have a chance of staying up, but that would involve them getting a win against RB Leipzig. Leipzig, who one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Christoph, what's been the reaction to their Europa League exit at the hands of Rangers?
Tenzin gegen Willi Orban, Flanke kommt rein, abgefälscht, auf der Linie gerettet und in der Abschlusstor.
Das gibt es doch nicht. Die Rangers machen das 3-1 mitten in die Angriffsbemühungen von RB.
As I told you last week, the majority of our football supporters over here in Germany were actually looking forward to have a final between Rangers and Frankfurt now, and not an all-German final. Not everyone. The main reaction was that Leipzig was actually overwhelmed by the passion and emotion they were meeting in Glasgow, and were probably not mature enough to stand this atmosphere that they experienced there. And but they came back with a 4-0 win against Augsburg, so they are almost surely qualified for the Champions League next season. And I think they will have learned from their trip to Glasgow.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one of the top four places still to be decided. Bayern, obviously, through Borussia Dortmund as well in the Champions League. Bayer Leverkusen sorting out their spot for next season there with a 4-2 win at Hoffenheim this weekend with one round to go. Leipzig and Freiburg and also Union Berlin all in the mix for that final spot.
Yeah, spectacular performance by Union Berlin, winning 4-1 at Freiburg. They had a great final sprint towards the end of the season. They got 19 points of 21 possible in the last seven games, and they again qualified for Europa. And as you said, it's only unclear if it will be the Europa League or the Conference League. It's the fourth best ever season in a row for the club. So celebrations don't stop in Berlin, Köpenick. And and also we will see Cologne in Europe next season. And And with Union and Frankfurt and Cologne, I think we will have, and Freiburg, but especially the first three, we will have clubs that that will bring a similar attitude to international football as Frankfurt. I think you can expect thousands and thousands of away supporters going to the away games of their teams next season.
Magnificent. Freiburg will be taking on RB Leipzig in the Pokal final. Does that get you into the Europa League winning that, if you don't make it otherwise?
But as both of the teams are already qualified for the Europa League, so one of these places is added. So the Threvens is...
Hence Cologne.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, mentioning Frankfurt and their extraordinary support this season, they have made it to the big game in Seville in the Europa League final, where they will be taking on Rangers. Rangers, whose extraordinary vociferous support spooked RB Leipzig. Frankfurt can play them at their own game in those regards. What do you reckon on the matchup on the pitch, though?
Let me tell you a funny thing from Thursday's match before I answer your question. I don't know if anybody of you recognized this huge banner that was held up by Frankfurt supporters after the match. So it had the size of like four bed sheets or something like that put up behind the goal and was saying, congratulations, you've just met the SGE. So you know the context.
Yes.
So it's the one of these famous hooligan stories. Originally it was, congratulations, you just met the ICF, the Intercity firm, so the West Ham hooligans. And that is a pretty famous also in Germany as well, because Cass Pennant's hooligans memoirs were also published in Germany. And one of them actually had this cover where these kind of business card style things with this saying were on top of it. And they exactly copied the layout. So it looked like this. I found it great, but probably only the elder among us could could see what the joke was there. But apart from that, it's a final. I mean, it's not a small team against a big team. It's not terrific players against smaller or whatever. It's totally open. I think it's actually pretty difficult to bet on it.
Mm. They've come all the way through Eintracht Frankfurt without losing a single match en route to the final. A draw with Borussia Mönchengladbach this weekend, yeah? Or with a fine goal from Gonzalo Pacienza.
Yeah, but nobody cared. They even were hanging a banger up saying, heute ist es egal, es zählt nur der Pokal. That means today we don't care, only the cup counts. So so they were actually like, I don't know why they came. I mean, probably just to celebrate again or so. So also the last day of the season will be just some kind of preparation routine, and everybody is trying to not get injured and so on. So the Bundesliga season for Eintracht Frankfurt is like already for gotten, but that's true for weeks now, and it's really, I mean, the excitement around Eintracht Frankfurt, it's really, really fantastic. So they are actually quite popular right now in Germany because of that, because everybody is like, hey, it's so great what they took from the Europa League and so on. So they give us a lot of fun.
Mm, they've been one of the stories of the season. All right, well, we'll get a proper preview, perhaps, of how they match up with Rangers ahead of the game, which is coming up on Wednesday week. Anything else ahead of the final round of the Bundesliga, Christoph?
Ah, a drama unfolding in Berlin, because a week ago when Hertha was playing in Bielefeld, they were 1-0 up 2 minutes from time, and they had a sitter for the 2-0, and they didn't put it in for I don't know whatever reason. And then they conceded the equalizer in the 91st minute. And then they needed just 1 point from this weekend's match against Mainz, and they lost 2-1. And so the situation is, as Stuttgart got a point from Munich, surprisingly, so the situation is, if Hertha is losing in Dortmund, and I think there is a fair chance that they are losing there, and Stuttgart is winning at the same time with any result, 1-0 or whatever, Stuttgart will avoid relegation, and Hertha has to play the relegation match. So
that'll be the playoff, I think, game.
The playoff, exactly. So we call it relegation match. It's between the third last from the bottom of the Bundesliga and the third from the second division. It's still open who that is. Probably Hamburg, or maybe Werder Bremen, or even Darmstadt. So they almost looked like in safety, and now they're in huge danger. So the praise for Felix Magath was a bit premature, probably.
Mm. Crikey. Well, I look forward to hearing all about a dramatic-sounding final day in the Bundesliga next week. Then, Christoph, many thanks for being with us today. That brings us to the end of this Totally Football Show. Many thanks as well to Julien and James and Alvaro, producer Charlie, and you, listener. Yeah. Back next week, ahead of the first of the European finals, with a full preview of that and so much more. Hope you have a great time in the meantime. From all of us here, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to The Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and discover bonus content by following the Athletic UK Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts. Find out the very latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/totally. The Totally Football Show is an Athletic Media Company production and sponsored by Paddy Power.
The Athletic.